We'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lots and Learn Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. The Neshamas should have an Aliyah. So we are now learning a new Mishnah, Perek Dalad, Mishnah 20. So this Mishnah is actually broken up into a few pieces, and we are going to focus on the first piece today. I entitled the Shir Learning While Old. As you will see as we start, the Mishnah is going to be discussing the differences between somebody who learns when they are young versus somebody who learns when they are older, and what benefits there are to starting the learning process while we're young, and what difficulties and challenges there may be for somebody who is older to be learning new things. I will not judge as to how relevant this may be for you or not. You can decide that on your own, but we will be going through some of the challenges that come along with learning while we are in more advanced ages. The questions that we're going to be asking ourselves are similar to questions that we ask in many of our Mishnayos, in terms of what the message is, in terms of any uses of metaphors that might be used that we can analyze and get depth from, see the different commentators on the different nuances that they may bring out. So let's jump in. The Mishnah states, Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Elisha ben Avuya said. So now before we even read any further, who was Elisha ben Avuya? Now, this isn't a trick question because we learned about him a few weeks ago. So we learned about him like a few months ago. We learned about him a few weeks ago. We've learned about him a number of times in the past. Freda, you answered the question last time, so you got to give somebody else a chance. Okay, so just kidding, Freda. You could answer it if you'd like. Okay, so I'll answer it. Elisha ben Avuya, as we'll see, was also known as Acher, who was somebody who was a rabbinic sage who went off the derech, to use a contemporary term, and he stopped being a sage. He stopped believing in a bunch of different things, and he became a paradigm of somebody who was no longer within the fold of rabbinic Judaism. So there's a lot to discuss about Elisha ben Avuya, and we can give an entire shir on Elisha ben Avuya on his own. What we're going to do for today is just pick up on some of the commentaries that discuss the main problem with this is how can we be quoting such a person in Pirkei Avos? If he's the paradigm of somebody who we want to not idolize and not follow, why are we giving him such prime time coverage here in Pirkei Avos? And you could even say, you don't even call him Acher, you call him Elisha ben Avuya by his original name. Usually we tend to call him by Acher, which means other, which hints at the otherness of him and the fact that we treat him differently. So we're going to address what is it, how is it that we're quoting Elisha ben Avuya? So that's what we're going to do in the first part. But that has nothing to do with what he actually says. Now let's look at what he says. So Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Halomed Yeled Lemahu Domet. Somebody who learns when they are a child, to what is that person compared to? Lidio ksuva alniyar chadash. It's like ink written upon learns while they're young. What's somebody who learns? Valomet zaken lemahu dome. Somebody who learns when they are old, what is that similar to? Lidio ksuva alniyar machuk. It's like ink written on a rubbed writing sheet, right? It's a writing sheet that's used. It's a writing sheet that's already erased, right? So you try to write over something when it's already been erased. That's the ink. That's the metaphor is that's what it's like when you're learning when you're old. So now, question number one is what is the metaphor? Right? When we're trying to describe an idea, we have the choice of using a metaphor, and all the English teachers are getting excited here, right? So what is the metaphor? What are you trying to teach me by using the metaphor? What do you add by using the metaphor? And then what's the contrast between the writing with ink, If that's the metaphor that I'm using, there's going to be a message within that metaphor. Writing ink on a clean, new piece of paper versus writing ink on a rubbed, an erased sheet of paper. So what's the message? And then the second piece of this is that whatever that message is, you're saying something in terms of what's the takeaway. Let's put it that way. What am I supposed to learn from this? So you're stating a fact. Right, you're using a metaphor to state a fact that learning while young is X and learning while old is Y. Right, so what do you want me to take from that? Is this something to encourage learning while being young because it's a better experience? Okay, maybe. But then what about somebody who's old who's reading this? Again, I'm letting you define your own ages here, right? But what somebody who's old, they read this and you're saying, okay, it's like learning is like writing on a rubbed writing sheet. Well, what do you want from me? Whatever rubbed writing sheet means, you're basically saying that, presumably, that it's harder to do when you're older than when you're younger. So you're stating a fact. It's not like you're saying be a good person or go learn Torah. You're stating that it's hard to learn while you're old. So what do you want from me? What's the message? What's the takeaway? Okay, so that's what we're gonna have to address. First part, Elisha ben Avuya. Second part, what's the metaphor? What are you teaching me about the fact, the differences between learning while young and learning while old? And number three is, what's the takeaway? What do you want me to take from this once we understand what this description is all about? So part one, we're going to start looking here in the Gemara in Chagiga. So the Gemara in Chagiga is the source that discusses Elisha ben Avuya. And we're not going to go through the whole Gemara, but I excerpted a few important ideas here. So number one is, and I chopped it up based on text boxes. So the first text box here in source number two is Tana Rabbanan Arba Nichnasu Bepardes. So there were four people who entered an orchard, a pardes. Ve'elu hein, these are the four, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Verebi Akiva. So these are the four. Acher is Elisha ben Avuya, and he went with these three others, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Rabbi Akiva. Now there's a lot to discuss what this pardes is, what this orchard is. It itself is a metaphor representing something else. They weren't just taking a stroll in an orchard. Maybe they were, but it was definitely, there's more to it than where they happen to have been. It could be that they were learning Kabbalistic concepts. It could be, there's a whole discussion here as to exactly what pardes is, but they went to do something that was an intense spiritual learning experience that was confusing. Perhaps it was something that was that was intense, something that they didn't fully grasp or understand, and each one went through this experience and came out differently. So we're not going to focus on that now. Go to the second text box here. Avku lemitatron umechayu shisin pulsi denura amrle mai taimaki chazisa lo kama mikame es a isavule reshusa lememchak zechusa da acher yatz da baskol va'amar shuvu banim shovim chutz mi acher. So again, we're not going to get into the details of what exactly happened, but the end part here is what's important, is that a baskol came out. For whatever happened, whatever they did, and whatever they learned, and whatever they saw, however they responded to it, a voice, a heavenly voice, a divine voice came out and said, everybody can return, except for Acher. Except for you, Elisha ben Avuya, except for Acher, everybody can do tshuva, everybody can return. That's what the statement that was made. Amar, third box. Hov itrid hao gavra mihao alma lifuch lisnu bahai alma. So when he heard this, when Elisha ben Avuya heard that this voice said, everybody can return except for him, so he says, since I don't have any shot anymore, I've been banished from the next world, let me go enjoy this world. So he went astray, and he did some things that were inappropriate, and he encountered somebody that was a problematic figure. You can read the English and the Aramaic on your own if you want. He basically went and did various sins. Next text box. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa ba'acher shai rochev al asus b'shabbos. Acher was riding on a horse on Shabbos, which is a violation of Shabbos law. Here's where it gets interesting. So Elisha ben Avuya, remember, he was a great Talmudic sage. He had a student, the famous Rebbe Meir. So Elisha ben Avihu has already went off the derech, as it were. He's violating Shabbos right in front of us. But Rebbe Meir was following him on Shabbos while Acher was riding a horse. Lilmod Torah mipiv. Learning Torah from Acher. So Acher's riding a horse on Shabbos, teaching Torah to Rebbe Meir, who was following him while he was riding the horse. Rebbe Meir wasn't on the horse, he was walking, but he was listening to Acher teach him. So, Amr Lo, Meir. So Acher tells Rebbe Meir, Chazer l'acherecha. Go, stop here. Why? Shekvar shiarti b'ikvesus ad kan tchum Shabbos. Because I have already reached the border of Tchum Shabbos. There's a limit to how far we're allowed to walk on Shabbos outside of a city. So Elisha ben Avuya tells Rebbe Meir, stop following me. I've gone too far, and if you pass this space, now you're going to go too far. Right? You're going to pass the Tchum Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk this far past the city lines on Shabbos. So Amar Lei Afata Chozer Becha. So Rebbe Meir says, okay, you too, go come back. And now he doesn't mean just come back as don't go so far on Shabbos. That's part of it, but he's basically saying a more meta principle, like it's time for you to do tshuva. So so Elisha ben Avuya says back to him, "V'lo kvar amarti l'cha kvar shamati ma'achar apargo tshuva banim shavim chutz mi'achar." So he tells Rebbe Meir, "I already explained this to you. I heard this divine voice that said I have no shot. I can't do tshuva. So that's why I'm not going to turn. That's why I'm not going to turn back." Okay, so this is a very fascinating story. Rebbe Meir following him, learning Torah. Elisha ben Avuya is teaching him Torah, and he's also concerned that Rebbe Meir doesn't violate the law. He doesn't care about himself in terms of a spiritual sense because he himself doesn't have a shot. He's Acher. He says he heard that he couldn't do tshuva. But he cares about Rebbe Meir not violating the laws. So the question became, so how now do we understand Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Meir is learning from somebody who's a very problematic figure. So the Gemara addresses this. Ashkeche Rabba Bar Shila L'Eliyahu. Amrle, my kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara relates, Rabba Bar Shila found Eliyahu, the Navi. He said to Eliyahu, what's God doing? So Eliyahu said, he is stating halachos transmitted by all the sages, but in the name of Rebbe Meir, he will not speak. So God's not quoting Rebbe Meir. God's quoting halachos up in heaven, but he's not quoting Rebbe Meir. Why not? So he replied, because he learned halachos from the mouth of Acher. So God's not quoting Rebbe Meir, because Rebbe Meir learned from Acher. So he said to him, why should he be judged unfavorably for that? Rebbe Meir found a pomegranate and ate its contents while throwing away the peel. And the line in the Aramaic is a powerful one, so we'll read it. Rebbe Meir rimon matzah tocho achal klipaso zarek. Meaning, Rebbe Meir was able to take away the positives from what Acher had to teach him, and he was able to discern what were the things that he had to stay away from. So Acher had kernels of wisdom, kernels of truth, kernels of halachos, of law that he was communicating. And Rebbe Meir's skill was that he was able to pick out the good and throw away the bad. So now God is saying, my son Meir says when a person suffers by receiving lashes or the death penalty at the hands of the court, how does the divine presence express itself? Woe is me from my head, woe is me from my arm, as God empathizes with the sufferer. So now, after this sage, Rabbi Bar Shila, tells this to Eliyahu, apparently God starts quoting Rebbe Meir. Right? So this was an acceptable answer, that Rebbe Meir was able to take away the good and throw away the bad. So now we look at Rebbe Meir in a better light, but we also learn about Elisha ben Avuya in the sense that if done correctly, there is wisdom to what he had to say. It's not that everything he did was bad. There were things that we can gain and garner from it. So now, with this background knowledge from this Gemara in Chagiga, our commentaries on Pirkei Avos use that to help us understand how can it be that our Mishnah quotes Elisha ben Avuya. So look here in source number 3, the Magen Avos of the Rashbats. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Haperish. Zos ha-mishnah dalgua misidure tfilos mishum shem rishayim yirkav. So the Rashbatz is writing and he says that there are sidurim, right? We know Pirkei Avos is in the Siddur. It's in between mincha, it's right by mincha of Shabbos because there's a custom to read Pirkei Avos on, between mincha marv on Shabbos. So he says that there are sidurim that were printed that removed this mishnah from its, from Pirkei Avos. They skipped it over. They took it out because of the pasuk of Shem Rishayim Yirkav, that the name of the wicked should perish. So how can we quote Elisha ben Avuya as a wicked person? So they literally, they took it out. They didn't put this mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the Siddur because they didn't want to quote it. Now, what were they thinking when, you know, they thought like, okay, but it's in Pirkei Avos, right? Somebody obviously put it there. But either way, it didn't matter. The editors of the Siddurim took out this mishnah. So the Rashbatz writes as follows: Venira, ki kodem shiyatza letarbos ra haisashkura befia talmidim. Before he went off the derech, he used to be well quoted. People liked him. He had good students, and students listened, and students quoted him. Vacharkach mishnezu lo zazamim koma. And this mishnah, which was such a great statement, and everybody loved it. It was such a great metaphor and something to think about. There was such a great message to it. They didn't remove this. It stuck where it was. So meaning we probably had so many more statements of Acher that we did get rid of, that we didn't follow, we didn't pay attention to. But this one was so shkura, it was so entrenched in the learning process that it just stuck. The message stuck, the Mishnah stuck. Now you could have asked, okay, but you can still make it anonymous. Right, you'd have plenty of publishers nowadays who would have no problem quoting something from somebody else, but making it an anonymous quote, quoting it in the name of somebody else, right? But that's not what happened. They quote it in the name of Elisha ben Avuya. Let's keep reading. Kemosha Amru al Kiyotze Bezeh, Bavodazara, Uvachulin, Parakol Basar. So we have a precedent for this. Bafa Pisha Yatzla Tarbus Ra, Ein La Niach Devarov. Even though somebody who went off to a bad place, they're not following in our the way we want them to follow, it doesn't take away, it doesn't erase the good that they've said or the messages that they have communicated till this point. So that's one way of dealing with this, is that even if we don't want to idolize this person, we don't want to necessarily respect this person because of they're not a good role model at this point in time, it doesn't take away the wisdom and the learning that we already have from them. Ukvar Amru, famous Rambam in the Hakdama L'Shmona Prakim, Kibala Emes Mimisha Amro. Accept truth from whoever said it. I don't care who said it. I don't care who they are, what they did. If it's truth, it's truth. So this is truth. So we accept it and we quote it and we're not afraid to quote it from him either. And then he says, Rabbi Meir Lamad Torah Mimenu, V'samacha Mikra Shenemar, Hataz Necha Ushma Divrei Chachamim, V'libcha Tashas Ladati. So Rabbi Meir, that's what we just read. Rabbi Meir was able to learn it because he was able to separate the good from the bad. Well, here we have it. We can follow Rabbi Meir's footsteps, take the good. This is a powerful message, apparently. We have to understand what the message is. But it's a powerful message. We're going to keep it, and we're going to keep it in his name. And we're going to be sophisticated and nuanced enough to realize that just because somebody went off the derech doesn't mean that we can't quote the wisdom from what he imparted to us. So that's why we quote Elisha ben Avuya. That's what the Rashbat says. There's more to say on this, but I think that's it's good enough for now. The message is clear. We're quoting Elisha ben Avuya, and we don't have a problem with that. We can learn from his wisdom, which transitions us into the second part of the discussion, which is once we're okay with learning from Elisha ben Avuya, we have to understand what is he telling us. What's this message that if I learn when I'm young, it's like writing with ink on a fresh piece of paper, but if it's learning when I'm old, then it's like I'm writing on a erased piece of paper. What's the message? So let's start here. We're going to continue with the Rashbatz, where he uses something we've alluded to in the past. he uses the what was the science of his time, which was in the, I believe I give you the exact years in a second. He lived in the medieval period. He was born in 1361 and died in 1444. So he uses the understanding of the, what we would call the brain science of the time to understand what this Mishnah is talking about. So he says here as follows, V'haya Omer, ki alomed Torah kishu yelad, domel amisha kosev b'dio al nir chadashu miskayem. When you learn Torah when you're a child, it's as if you're writing with ink on a brand new piece of paper. So what's that metaphor teaching me? That number one, it's miskayem. It lasts. It stays. The learning that I do when I'm young has a long-term effect in terms of my ability to remember it later on. Kein girsas hayaldus. He miskayemes ve'ena mishtakeches. The things I learn when I'm young last and they're not forgotten. I want us to take this at, not to take anything we learn today at face value and to question it, right? Because we all know that while there's some truth to this, obviously, does that mean that everything I learn when I'm a kid, I'm going to remember forever, right? There's plenty of teachers in this room and plenty of parents in this room and plenty of individuals in this room who themselves have experienced this. We don't really remember everything that we learned in school. We don't really remember everything, right? Memory is not that great. So it's important to take this not at just, oh, I learned when I'm young. It's good. I'm going to remember it forever. That can't be what we mean. There has to be more depth to this and more layers to this, because obviously it's not true that everything I learn when I'm young, I'm going to remember. But the starting point here is that the ink that I'm writing is on a clear piece of paper and that it's going to be easier to remember and it's going to be more lasting, at least, than what I'm going to be learning when I am older. So V'chein Amar Abaye, continuing here, Beperek Sheni de Shabbos, Izakai Gemarta Mikara, Vahagamra, Nafgamina Lagirsa Diankasa. So he alludes to a Gemara in Shabbos we're not going to get into, but there's a famous concept here of Girsa Diankasa. The things that I learn when I'm young have a better, more lasting impact on me later on in life, because it's more, the memories are more ingrained, and therefore I'll remember it better. That's when I'm young. What about when I'm old? Valoma Torakishu Zakain. So it's like I'm writing on an erased piece of paper. Since I have already written on this piece of paper and then erased it, I erased what I wrote originally. Now I'm trying to write over it. It's not going to stay as well now that I'm writing it on the second time, right? The parchment has already been erased. The material is no longer that established. It's no longer it's a worn out material. So when I write over that worn out material, the new writing is not going to last. I'm not going to be able to see it. It's going to wear out. It's not going to be clear. Kein halamed be'es hazikna, Eino miskayem umishtakeach. The learning that I do when I'm older is not going to last, meaning I'm going to forget it. Uvesefer mivchar hapnimim, mashlo bezem mashal acher. So there's other svarim, there's other books that give a different metaphor. As I alluded to before, the metaphor we use is important. So what's the metaphor given in this other book? Halomet Torah yelod ma'od domer kipatoach ala even. Because we're going to skip that for now. I don't want to get into it. It's just going to take some extra time. And then he gives his own patuach ala shava. But here's where I want to get to. Ki advarim sheshomea adam him near shamim bimocho. The things that we hear are ingrained. They're written on our brain. Ukishamoach no tel liyovesh hu miskayem limudo. When the brain is dry, then my learning lasts. Ukishenota lilachus eno miskayim. But when my brain starts to become too wet, it doesn't last. V'hayeled mocho note liyovesh yoser mehazaken. A child has a drier brain than an older person. Ki hayeled mocho cham, v'hazaken mocho lach. Because a child's brain is warm, hot, and an older person's brain is wet. Ki lechulshas ikulo hu note lilachos. It starts to denigrate or degenerate, better word, and it becomes wet. Al kein amru ki azikna hi imashechacha. That's why we forget. Now, my goal here is not to fully understand what his, again, brain science was. It does have to do with wetness and dryness. And dryness is when we're young. Wetness is when we're old. And dryness is better for memory, and wetness is worse for memory. But what you do see from the Rashbats is that I think we do have the capability here to easily insert whatever we know about our brains and neurons and neurobrain chemistry and neurotransmitters and all the things that we in contemporary times can talk about and understand this Mishnah from, insert everything we know about why our brains, it's harder to, everything we know about memory, that why in old age it's harder to remember things. That's basically what he's trying to do with his, what, how they understood the brain in the 15th century. We can do the same thing in the 21st century about how we understand the brain, and why is it that that our brains don't work as well when it comes to memory later on in life than when it does earlier on in life. So we're gonna try to frame that a little bit. We're not gonna get into a complicated class in the elements of the brain and the hippocampus and all the parts of the brain that have to do with memory. We're not going to do that now. But I do want to just point out that I think we have the capability, if we wanted to do that, to easily tie that into our Mishnah, because the Mishnah is just opening up, is just stating a metaphor, that it's stating a fact that we don't remember things as well when we're older, and then we have commentaries who are trying to explain that based on what they thought, how the brain worked in the 14th and 15th century, and then we can do that even better now, I believe, in the 21st century with the different scientific techniques that we have. So we're not going to do that in detail now, but we'll allude to it and show that as we go on in a few of the other sources. But for now, let's go to the next source. This source, I think, is a, I had a few different sources that I was originally going to do sort of bullet points from each source, but the Medrash David here, I believe, pulls all of this together. If you remember the Medrash David, we did, we quoted him probably around 3 or 4 months ago. He is the grandson of the Rambam. And he had a very, we quoted him in the context of a very important pedagogical lesson that he had, which I'm happy to go into again at a different point in time. But I'm only bringing that up now is because what we pointed out, without going into the details, when we quoted him last time, say a very in-depth, sort of spot-on analysis of the social emotional experiences of learning when you're a child. And I think he does a very similar thing here. His analysis is very apt, as we'll see, that learning is a complicated, multidimensional aspect. It's not just about whether or not my memory is better or worse. It's not just about whether or not my brain is working as well as it did when I was younger. There's a lot of depth here. So let's delve into this source number 4, the Medrash David. So Ma'amar Elisha ben Avuya, alav ha-shalom ha-shleimos, amru sha'malame Torah liyalad kishut sa'ir, v'zichrono imo, v'iyuno miyushav, v'kocho shalem. So let's start, let's bullet point this. There's, so far he mentioned 3 things, he's going to mention more. It's not just about memory. The Tashbetz only mentioned memory. To be fair, I cut off the Tashbetz. He mentioned some more of these things also. But let's just keep track of how many things are different than when we're young and than when we're old. It's not just about memory.
Number one, it's about memory. Zichrono imo. Number two, the iyuno miyushav. The second component of this is that my analysis is better. My analytical abilities are better when I am younger. So it's not just about memory. It's also about what we would call fluid intelligence, analytical ability. The ability to think critical thinking skills are better when I'm younger. So that's another reason why the benefit to learning while younger versus older. Number three, v'kocho shalem. I have more strength when I'm younger than when I'm older. Number four, v'yeshlo savlanus lilmod. I have more patience to learn when I'm younger. Number five, v'gam cheshek l'torah. I have more passion, as it were, when I'm younger to learn. V'chol ma sheyischadesh etzlo mima shelomed yismach v'yagel bo. What I learn when I'm younger becomes more enjoyable. When I come up with an idea, I have more of a simcha. I'm more excited. I'm more passionate about it. V'yivakesh yoser, and it creates this drive to want to know more and want to learn more. V'tamid yamik b'shelos v'yachzer al kol ma shehisik b'limudo, and I want to ask more questions, and I'm going to do chazar, I'm going to review it, and I want to learn more. Pamim rabos, many times I'm going to review it. Ad sheyiskayim talmudo b'yado. And that's going to help the learning stick. Az yelimudo b'torah doma l'ksiv al niyar chadash. That's what makes it like writing on a clear piece of paper. So the reason why I think this is so powerful is because he takes what we might have just thought as, oh, I have a better memory when I'm older, and makes it so much more complicated and nuanced that it's not just about memory. It's about fluid intelligence, my ability, my analytical skills. It's about my passion. It's about my happiness levels when I'm learning. It's about my desire to review and to understand and to ask questions. So it's not just memory. It's a whole personality. It's a whole mindset that's different when I'm younger than when I'm older. And as we're going to see at the end when we close, this is going to be a key to understanding what the message here might be. Because we can't just say it's about memory and what can I do? My memory is not as great. I'm older than I was before. No, there are other factors which may be in our control to change that impact our ability to learn effectively even when we're older. He continues here. It's going to stick with you. It's not going to erase. What I learn is another element. When I learn when I'm younger becomes more solidified as I get older. Right? So the other point here, and he states this and others state it as well, but I'll just say it outside for the sake of time, is just think about it. When I learn something when I'm 15 or when I'm 20 or when I'm 25, I have time to review it. Right? I create what we would call in psychology a schema in my brain of this is what the concept is. And then later on when I see that concept somewhere else, it goes back into that other concept and I build what, again, using the brain terminology, I would build those neural connections in my brain to strengthen the connections between ideas. That happens over time when I'm able to continue to review and continue to see other ideas and connect them to previous ideas. When I'm older, I have less of a chance of doing that because I have less of a time to go over and to review and to see those things in other contexts. So it's about not just about what my brain is. It's not just about my mindset. It's not just about my emotions. It's not just about my personality. It's also about the time that I have to then review and solidify those concepts that I've seen at a younger age. So that's another component here. Abarbanel in source number five adds an additional one, which is that when I'm younger, I have the capability to then teach it to others. And as we know from other Mishnayos, that by teaching, I become a better learner as well. And that my memory is going to improve when I'm able to teach. So another benefit of learning while younger is that, as he says here, it's leida ula hodia, that I know, but I'm also able to communicate and to teach others. And when I'm older, I might not have that ability to be that teacher and to communicate it, because I've missed that sort of critical time period where I learned in order to teach. And now I'm just trying to play catch up, and I'm just trying to learn, so I don't have that capability to build those students. And building the students and learning from those students is an important capacity. It helps my capacity to learn better as well. So another additional component here. So let's just briefly review, and then we'll move to the last part of the shiur as to the so what. What am I supposed to do with this? So what's the benefit of learning younger versus older? So number one, better memory. Number two, better critical thinking skills. Number three is that I have more of a passion, a desire. Number four is that I have perhaps because of all of that, I have more of a simcha, I have more of a happiness, I have more of a drive to want to know more, to ask questions. I have more time to review, as well as I have more time to teach. And all of these things help me become a better learner and understand things better over the course of time. When I'm older and I don't have that, so things are actually, one second. Yeah, so let's go back. I skipped it. Go back to the second part. So what's the problem? We didn't explicitly say this yet. Before we go to part three, what's the problem of besides for absent what we have for all of those things that my memory is not as good and you know the inverse of all the benefits of learning while you're younger? Can we explicitly state part of the problem of why it's like I'm writing over erased paper, right? What's that erased paper have to do with learning while I'm older? So he spells it out here. Others spell it out as well. It's that I'm writing on, it's an erased paper. So similar to what the Tashbeit said, is that this dryness goes away. The brain becomes this wet part, which is bad for learning. They don't have that knowledge or that patience or that energy to keep reviewing and reviewing. Whatever I learn, I forget right away. So it's like I'm writing, but it's like it's not sticking. The messages aren't staying. Others say, I didn't put it in, or maybe I skipped over it. I think I took it out in my final draft here. Others say that it's part of the problem here is that there's so many other things in your brain already when we're old. So when we're young, there's no what we call interference. And this is part of why memories are hard to stick. There's some research on this as well. It's that if I already have things in my brain and I'm now trying to learn new things, well, yes, the brain, it's not like there's a limited capacity in the brain. You could always create new memories, but there's a lot of old information that can get in the way of processing new information. So, that's a great metaphor. Then the metaphor becomes very clear, is that I'm writing already, trying to rewrite over a paper that's already has stuff there. So I'm trying to write on top of that. I'm trying to write on top of all the information that I have. And especially if I'm not used to the Torah concepts later on in life, my brain is filled with so many ideas, so many concepts, that it's now hard to overwrite those or to write on top of those, because there's an interference that's taking place that prevents those new memories from sticking and from forming well. So there's a degeneration of the brain and the capacity for memory over time, but there's also this too much stuff there polluting or clouding my mind, that when I try to write over it, it's just not going to stick as well. Okay, so that closes off the second section. That learning
while question?
Yes.
When all these people are talking about older people learning, they're talking about people learning for the first time?
Okay, so excellent question. As of right now, at least who I've quoted, nobody stated that explicitly. It was one of the questions that I meant to pose in the beginning, is that how are we going to define young and old? Not just how are we going to define it, but what are these messages here in terms of did I learn already earlier on or not? Nobody's made that distinction until this point. We'll see it next week in the second half of this Mishnah, which is talking about a similar but different persons talking and a slightly different concept, but a similar concept, where Rashi's going to state that it's talking about somebody who has not learned while they're younger. So if you learned while you're younger, it's easier. But to be clear, nobody's made that statement in this Mishnah, as far as I've seen. And because of that, I would say that it's talking about, let's put it this way. It doesn't mean that you haven't learned anything, but I think it is talking about learning new information. Right? So it could be if you already know the information, and you review it, and you review it, and you review it, so that's not a problem, right? You have it, and you're doing chazara. Right? We all know older people who, when they keep up with their learning, and they continue to investigate, and they continue to delve, whether Torah or other concepts, right? They're not going to not for, right? Expertise happens with buildup over time with that experience. So there's no question about that. I would say that we're presumably talking about somebody who could have learned something, but now you're trying to learn something new, and that learning of something new is going to be difficult. But you could also state that a lot of the things that we saw in terms of the problems with learning while older could affect even people who are learned, right? That drive, that the energy, the passion, the memory, the critical thinking skills, all of that could in theory happen to anybody, even for somebody who's learned while they're younger, right?
Rabbi Schiffman, if you don't mind, can I ask a question?
Sure.
What about, obviously, I realize everybody listening to this now, I consider to be older, but anyway, what about somebody Rabbi Akiva?
I did not say that.
I'm only pointing out, Rabbi Akiva started at a later age, and he obviously, I don't have to tell you what he accomplished.
Jake?
That's an exception to the rule?
I love it. So number one, you're transitioning us well into the third part of the shir. Right? So what about Rabbi Akiva? What about, especially this time of year, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva didn't start learning till he was 40. So now you could say 40 is not the old that we're talking about. That could be, but not necessarily, because from everything we've spoken about, he's already busy. He already has a life. He already has so many things in his head. His critical thinking might, again, for most people. So what about Rabbi Akiva? What about other people who started older and were able to learn? Or what about not even the exceptions? To frame it differently, it's like, so what are you telling me? What's your message? So you're telling me I'm old, so give up. So why am I at a shir? Why am I doing this? Why am I trying to learn anything? You're basically just saying, you got no shot. Your brain's not as good as it used to be. Give up. So end the shir here. Why am I learning? Okay. So this is gonna transition us. Freda, quickly, and then we'll go to the third part.
I happen to have learned this Mishnah a very long time ago, and I don't remember exactly who, but
you're proving the point.
It can be framed differently in terms of life experience, and that's all I'm going to say, because it's a whole discussion. If you could frame the whole explanation differently and make it more positive towards the older people.
Okay, so here we go. All right, so let's transition now to, so what's the message, and is it just this sort of fatalistic, old people can't learn, don't even try, what's the point? Which I don't think is where we want to go in terms of the outcome here. So let's look here, source number six. Rabbeinu Yonah. Val Yomar Azakin, Heinani Eitz Yavesh. Right? So the old person say, I'm like an old tree. Right? So we say in the Haftorah for fast days. Right? Al Yomar Asris. Right? So I'm an old tree. I can't do anything. I can't learn. Acharish Eina Torah Miskayemis Biyadi. Torah is not going to sustain. It's not going to last. Velama Ekra. Why should I learn? The Hevel Igad, I'm gonna toil for no reason. Kimi koma ko, so why not say that? Why not say that? So this is Rabbeinu Yonah's answer. Mikol makom scharo ito. You still get reward. Asher lama v'tarach va'asa mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. You tried. You learned. Okay, so you didn't remember. Okay, you didn't remember. Who said you have to remember? Right? The mitzvah's to learn. You're learning. You went to a shir, 45 minutes. You paid attention for 45 minutes. On the 46th minute, we say like, okay, so what did we learn today? I have no idea. Okay, I don't know. Does that matter? 45 minutes. You got reward for learning for 45 minutes. That's all you need. That's what's important. Or maybe you could even say, forget about reward. You experienced it for 45 minutes, and that's what's important, that experience for 45 minutes, with or without remembering it afterwards. Umalo im lo yizkerenu. Who cares if you don't remember it? Shebein kach ubein kach haschar notin lo. We give you reward, you get the reward, who cares? And he finishes off, echad amar bev echad amamit bezichrono uvavachi eskaven libo b'shamayim. Right? Whether you do a little, you do a lot, whether you have good memory, you have bad memory, as long as you have right intentions, you give it a shot, you try, you learn, that's all God wants from you, is to try. It doesn't matter if you remember it or you don't remember it. So I think it's a powerful message. It's an important message. Is that don't worry about it. Now, to be clear, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying this so that it's coming from the inherent problem of the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah seems to be stating, right, it's not going to work. So I don't think the Elisha ben Avuya was saying this to say, oh, but at least you get reward. So I think Rabbeinu Yonah is not adding, you know, I don't think he's giving a commentary to the Mishnah as this is what the Mishnah means. I think he's trying to help the reader not give up hope, right? So the Mishnah saying what the Mishnah is saying. And now, but don't give up hope, you still get reward. Because that's Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, Medrash Shmuel here, in the next source, says as follows. He says that, go back to the metaphor, and we'll skip to the end here, don't say, oh, it's like I'm writing on a paper that's already erased. So why should I try? Why should I give up? No, don't give up. It says, you're still writing on the paper, right? There's something still written there, right? Your new learning is making an imprint. It might not be as great of an imprint as it was when you were younger, but it's still having an effect. It doesn't say you're writing in invisible ink, right? And it's like, you know, it's like the second you finish the sentence, it's gone. That's not what it's saying. It's there. It's having an effect. It's impacting. Even if you can't recall all the details and you can't remember every single thing that was said, there's some level of impact. There's an imprint, whether it's on your memory. Maybe I would add, he's not even saying this. Maybe there's an imprint on your soul that you don't remember, but it's still there. Maybe there's an impact from the experience that's important for your life, for your religious existence, that keeps you rooted, that keeps you connected, even if you don't remember the details. So why do you care so much about the details? It's not only about the details. There is an imprint. There's an imprint. It's not as strong, but there's an imprint. So it's actually saying, listen, we're being realistic, right? Maybe the Mishnah is even saying I should have said this earlier, right? The main message of the Mishnah, you could argue, is therefore make sure you learn while you're young, right? Which is probably true as part in terms of what the Mishnah is saying. Don't wait till you're 60 or 80 or 100 to say, oh, now it's time to learn, right? When you're 15, when you're 10, when you're 20, when you're 30, make sure you're learning. So that's probably the message of the Mishnah, but when you look at it as the message of the Mishnah to the person who's already failed at that, as it were, who didn't take advantage of their time when it comes to learning when they were younger, for whatever reason, good reasons, bad reasons, they didn't, but now they're older and they're looking back, now that's what we're addressing. So the Medrash Shmuel is saying, don't say it doesn't have an impact, it has an impact, and it does something. So it's almost like you might say, why should I go learn? It doesn't have an impact. So the Mishnah is saying, no, it does have an impact. It's just not as strong as an impact, but make sure you keep doing it. That's what the Medrash Shmuel says. Now the eighth source here, the Ruach Chaim. V'alomit zakin l'mahu doma, v'mikom akom mo'il, shim yirtze l'takin, yichtov bidyo yoser tov, v'yoser yanikar aksav sha'alav. So he says, I'm telling you something that's a reality. When you're older, it's harder to learn. For all those reasons, it's harder to learn. So what's the message? Write with better ink. Meaning, do a better job of learning You will have to work harder. You will have to compensate for the fact that your memory is not as good when you're older by writing with better ink, working harder on the processing, reviewing more, trying to pay attention as best as you can. And it's not fair, because when I was younger, or when that person in the shear who was younger, they just get it like this. It's not fair. Well, okay, it's not fair. That's what happens. Our brains don't work as well when we're older on some in terms of memory as well as they did beforehand. So now you have to try harder and try better. Rotza lomar shiadaktik yoser belimudo ata. Be more careful about your learning now because it's harder. Make sure you compensate. That's what he says. One more source and we'll frame it up and call it a day. The base avos of Chaim Pelagi. So it's hard to read, but what he basically says here is that another way of understanding this Mishnah, fundamentally different than parts of what we said, but alluded to in other parts, is that maybe it's not talking about old age from a perspective of chronological years, but it's talking about old age from a perspective. And if the perspective of old age here, he says, is that you're in it for the kavod, you're in it for the glory, for the respect, for the honor. You want people to look at you and praise you and say, wow, that person knows a lot. That person is so smart. But when you're younger, the perspective is one of anivus, of humility. And maybe we'll add, we're going to elaborate and draw on what he says here. We're going to take his paradigm of looking at it as not about age, but about a personality, right? If whatever that the negativity associated with this sort of burnt out, not in it for the excitement and the joy and the passion for learning and knowing and you know that light bulb that goes off on a little child's face when they learn something new, that excitement to always explore and to understand and to read and to know. If that's our perspective, I don't care what age we're at. You can be a young, as Rabbi Tokayer likes to say a lot. It's a message he says. You can be an old young person, and you can be a young old person. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of personality. So putting this all together, yes, there might be a decline in some capacity of memory over time. Yes, and now I'll add what Freda you were alluding to before. If you look at the research in terms of intelligence over the lifespan, what you'll find is that intelligence, different components of intelligence, increase or decrease over the lifespan. And our memory does decrease on some level. Our fluid intelligence, which is what the Medrash Shmuel was talking about, our analytical ability, our ability to think in depth and analyze things does decrease. But there's one component of our intelligence that increases over the lifespan. And that's what's called crystallized intelligence, which is our knowledge, the amount of information that we have, the wisdom, if you will, that comes with experience over time, building through my life. That's something that a younger person does not have. And this is going to transition us to next week's Mishnah, right? The downsides of learning while younger or learning from somebody who's young. We have to be careful about that too. There could be downsides of that as well. But if I can harness the powers of old age without and try to compensate for the losses of old age, then I can still learn. And perhaps I can learn even more powerfully in some aspects than somebody who's younger. So what I want us to think about is when we think about ourselves and we think about our own brains and our own personalities and we're learning and we're trying to learn, can we, if we do have a decline in memory, can we work on compensating? How do we compensate? Well, as the Ruach Chaim says, we work harder. How can we compensate? Well, maybe we have to work on our mindset, on our outlook. And not to say, oh, I'm an old tree, an Eitz Yavesh. I can't learn. I can't do anything. And say, I don't have the passion. Well, let's work on the passion. Let's work on that. Try to foster and ferment that that beauty and that excitement and that joy that comes with learning, even though I might not be able to remember everything so well. So I review it even more, and I try even harder, and I put more time into it, and I put more effort into listening again and analyzing it as best as I can in that framework. So if you look at the Mishnah and you look at what Elisha ben Avuya was teaching us, I think the message is powerful and the message is important. Number one, the message primarily for when we're young, learn as much as you possibly can. Get started. And as teachers, let's help our students get started when there are our children or our nephews, our nieces, our grandchildren. Let's help them learn as much as they can. Try to inspire them to learn as much as they can when they're younger. And if we're old, it's not too late. At the very least, we get schar, we get reward. The reshumo, the imprint is there, even if it's not as great. And let us try as hard as we can to compensate, to learn with passion, to review, to use our wisdom, to use our skills, to use our experience, to impart our own knowledge onto what we're doing, so that it's not a futile exercise. These are things that we do learn from and we do grow from. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, even if our memory is not so great, we do gain from learning. And the more we learn, the more we gain. And the more imprint it has on our lives and our religious selves and our spirituality and in our memory, we could remember things. If we hear it 3 or 4 or 5 times, eventually it'll start sticking. Might have to work harder, but it'll stick. And with that, we close and we leave it. I could open up for questions if anybody has anything.